interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
Sky and to high strangers around the globe. This is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual. And we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. Let's start tonight with a story from a place that I did not expect a story from, Waynesville, North Carolina. That's maybe about 30 minutes down the road from where we are broadcasting here in Asheville. A 53-year-old man is in trouble in Waynesville. And keep in mind, this 53-year-old man was actually voted as Waynesville's Citizen of the Year in 2006. But now he's in the middle of a controversy. This 53-year-old man, I will not give his name out here on the air, was apparently renting a house to a 29-year-old man, and they got into an argument over the overdue rent, apparently maybe $2,000 or more in overdue rent. So finally, the 53-year-old man supposedly said, quote, "If you're going to act like a child, I'm going to treat you like one." He then decided to spank the 29-year-old man. He removed his belt and somehow bent the 29-year-old man over and struck him repeatedly on the buttocks with his belt. Pictures taken at the scene of the crime show, quote, little marks, according to a police report. And it seems the 53-year-old man has admitted to whipping his tenant, the victim. And right now they say that the guy is free after missing his original arraignment. And now he is charged, of course, still with a count of assault. And who knows how this will be worked out. Can you believe in quiet, little old, quaint Waynesville, Forrest Connor? Hardwood Forrest Connor, my producer, sir, that a man, a landlord, has whipped another man, has spanked him, it says.
Well, Joshua, you know, I have done some work in Waynesville in the past, and
yeah?
I am not surprised.
Really?
Not surprised in the least bit. Waynesville can be an interesting place.
So it's happening there just like everywhere else. People are just losing good judgment.
They're getting weird.
Well, I don't know if I'm not going to say people in Waynesville don't have good judgment.
It was never there to begin with.
Well, I'm not going to say that because, you know, I could offend some people in Waynesville, and, you know, I wouldn't want to offend someone that's going to come by and spank me.
Are we still airing on one of the stations there right in Waynesville, The Peak?
I think so.
Okay. So, you know, that's one of our affiliate broadcasters right there in Waynesville. So, hey, you know, if any of the people involved in this predicament would like to contact us and, you know, we will allow them to air their side here on Speaking of Strange.
Would you allow them to spank you on the air?
That might be a little distracting from my job here as host, but I think that somebody else in the studio might volunteer for that. Shelley Wright, Investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop, you don't really do anything. You just sit here in the studio, you know, just heckling us. So we may as well let somebody spank you, right?
Let somebody spank
you? Yeah.
I'm very particular about that.
Forrest is over here doing important things. He's sliding things. He's hitting buttons. He's flicking switches. I'm here guiding this ship. I think that you're the spankable one here.
I'm doing very important things. I am picking out earrings from Forrest's fiance.
Well, that's right. Fiance Kelly is here with her blazing blue hair and a bag full of earrings that she has made.
Way cool earrings.
Some people sell Girl Scout cookies. She sells earrings. And you make all these earrings yourself, Kelly.
Yes, sir.
And they're fantastic. As a matter of fact, as everybody listening may know, I just got back from the enchanted island of Puerto Rico. So I just got some earrings from you for my wife, Lauren, that are little mermaids. Perfect, right?
Yes. What lady doesn't like mermaids?
What kind of earrings did you get, Shelley, right?
Oh, I have these fabulous little shamrocks.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Well, just in time for St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day. And I have some others made out of guitar picks. Very beautiful. Little redheaded lady on there. Very beach looking.
Hawaiian pinup.
Hawaiian pinup like girl. Yeah.
All right.
Just my hair.
Well, there you go. If anybody wants some earrings, let us know. There's a free ad for Kelly's Earring Supply Store. Well, you know, hey, I'm alive, guys. Do you remember the last time we were in the studio?
Yes.
You are very concerned about not coming back
fatalistic.
With a beating heart.
Yeah, and the experience that I had, the adventure that I had, it lived up to every expectation. As you all may recall, well, you know, let me just pause. If you've never heard this show before, I'm Joshua P. Warren. Okay, I'm the author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur. I spend a lot of time traveling around, getting into mischief, investigating things. And I went down to Puerto Rico for a week because a guy contacted me saying that some type of a voice from a presumed entity was talking to him and harassing him and driving him crazy. And I didn't know this guy, but I decided to take a risk and travel down there and spend time living with a complete stranger. And, you know, I've been to Puerto Rico before, but this was a little bit different this time. I mean, I traveled by planes, trains, and automobiles, and boats, by land, sea, and air. Okay, I went down to Atlanta, because it was going to, if I left from Asheville, it was going to take 15 hours to get there, the way the times lined up on the flights. I went to Atlanta, spent the night, got up the next day, took a train into the Atlanta airport, flew from Atlanta to San Juan, from San Juan to Mayagüez, and Mayagüez, I rented a car, I drove down to Cabo Rojo, and then to Monte Grande, and I met this guy, and eventually we ended up getting on a boat and crossing the ocean and going to an island I'll tell you about. But anyway, let me tell you, I had mentioned before I went down there to do this that people had been hearing an uncanny, eerie voice coming from a ball of light in their bedrooms in Puerto Rico off and on for years. And I went down there wondering if whatever was going to speak to me was going to be the same entity that was inside this ball of light that people have been hearing in their bedrooms. Turns out, when I got down there, this was not the same thing. This guy I met, named Michael Rivera, finally, when I'm sitting there in front of him in his living room in person, he breaks the news to me, "Well, Joshua, I sold my soul to the devil." And I said, "Oh, how exactly does one do that?" Right? How does that work in reality? Well, we're going to get into all that, but let me tell you something. This guy, Michael Rivera, he's a big guy, okay? 6 feet tall, 240 pounds. He's a bodybuilder. He's got these muscles that look like they're just going to pop right out of his arms when he flexes. He eats a strict, I mean very strict diet just to build muscle. He's a big, powerful guy. We're sitting in his living room. It's late at night. I'm exhausted, and he says to me, "Joshua, I sold my soul to the devil. I became a very evil person. I did some terrible things. We'll talk about all this tomorrow, though. Your bedroom is at the end of the hall on the right. You know, have a good night."
Wow.
Yeah. So I go into this guy's bedroom, and I lay down, and I got to be honest with you. I started seeing these visions of, in the middle of the night, the door blasts open. This dude comes in. He's got a mask on. He's holding a machete or something. And suddenly it's not Michael, the nice guy, anymore. It's the other Michael, you know, the evil Michael. And he just kills the hell out of me, right? Maybe that's if I'm lucky. I mean, maybe he could have slapped a cuff on me, and now it's torture time, right? So I all these visions are running through my head, and I realize I'm totally vulnerable here. You know what I did? I took a sleeping pill. I said, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep." And I went to sleep, relying on the power of God to protect me against the devil. And I woke up the next morning. Birds were singing. Roosters were crowing. And so, fortunately, everything I saw of this guy, he's a very nice guy. But he has a hell of a story. And you know what? This first hour of the program, I'm going to tell you about the idiosyncrasies of my trip down to Puerto Rico and some of the stuff I got into. But here is a little unexpected treat for all of you. Hour number two of the show tonight, Michael Rivera himself is going to come on the program, and he is going to tell you in the most blatant, honest, sincere way what happened to him. How that he went from a guy with a wife working as a security guard to selling his soul to Satan. And how he approached that, what happened to him after he did that, and how this whole thing culminated in this voice now that has been harassing and terrorizing him, even though he now claims that he has given up on this, he's been filled with the Holy Spirit, he's born again, this thing is still with him, this demon is still with him. And, you know, what a show tonight. What a show. Call your neighbors, call your relatives, tell them to tune in here. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you step by step about the crazy stuff that I got into on this journey down to Puerto Rico. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. We dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird. It's called Speaking of Strange. And we'll be back right after this.
My heart is so pure, the world. is good.
There's nothing quite like flying across the entire island of Puerto Rico in a tiny little airplane. And you look down and you see emerald mountains. You see bright aquamarine water. You see the white froth of waves crashing against the shore. And I swear, when I flew from San Juan to Mayagüez, completely across the entire island of Puerto Rico, I was in the smallest airplane I've ever been in my entire life. Before I get to that, let me say something. You know, I tried my best to send out tweets and do Facebook updates throughout this experience, but my reception was really sketchy and spotty the whole time, so I wasn't able to do as much of that as I wanted. And yet, you know, I do, whenever I can on these trips, send out updates. And Forrest, you are now in the tweetosphere, you say?
Tweetosphere, yes. I've finally taken that step.
Okay.
And actually gotten myself a Twitter account.
Okay.
And so if anyone wants to drop me, follow me or whatever, tell me I suck or whatever you want to tell me, it's SOS Hardwood.
At SOS Hardwood.
Yep.
All right. Well, you suck, Forrest. Well, I'll tell you that right now.
Well, why don't you send me a response and tell me?
Okay, we'll make it official.
So SOS, obviously speaking of strange, and Hardwood.
Okay. SOS Hardwood. Excellent. Everybody start following Forrest. And, you know, and I am still kind of new to the whole Twitter thing. I didn't start tweeting till like a year ago. But, you know, it builds up quickly. I've got thousands of followers now. You take people like Zach Bagans, he's got like a 500,000 people who follow him now. It's crazy.
Well, you know, you get two or three TV shows and that happens.
That will, yeah, it'll work out somehow that way. And if you are listening and you're online, go to speakingofstrange.com for a live chat during the program, more information on topics discussed, and you'll find links to the ghost hunts we have now, some of our ghost tours, all that good stuff at hauntedashville.com, hauntedashville.com. You know, whenever I go off all by myself on one of these journeys, these adventures, once I set out and I tell everybody goodbye, I just wait to see when the first little hints and glimpses of the weird stuff is going to start. And in this case, let me tell you how it began. Again, I went down to Atlanta, and I figured I would get a little sleep before I got up early as heck in the morning and headed down to the airport. So I left my hotel room in Atlanta. I got some food to take back to my room, and I stopped by a Publix grocery store to get a six-pack of beer. And so I go into the grocery store.
Sleeping pills.
Of course, yeah.
Or something to sleep with.
I'm a little more natural, yeah. I prefer the old-fashioned way of doing things, if I can. I grab a cardboard six-pack container here with six bottles of beer in it. I go up to the clerk, seems to be a nice guy. I give him cash. I buy my beer. Have a nice day. I go walking off, and he goes, sir? Yeah, I turn around, and he goes, maybe you'd like these? And I look down, and there are four of my bottles of beer sitting on his counter. And I open my bag that he just gave me, and there are two beers in my carton. And he goes, I just thought I might keep some of these. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is a little joke that this guy just played, okay? As he was checking me out, he decided to take four of the beers out.
It's a sleight-of-hand expert all of a sudden.
Yeah, and it was just so stupid, you know? And I thought to myself, does he do that to everybody? Or just me? Did I get this today, you know? So I walk over, I'm like, that was a nice trick, you know? And I put my beer back, and I realized, okay, the tone is being set here for this trip. Because I've been to the grocery store thousands of times in my life. Haven't we all? Has that ever happened to anybody?
No.
It's just weird, isn't it? It's just a stupid, silly little random thing. But it set the tone. So, fast forward. I get down to San Juan. And that, yeah, I came in on a big, you know, Delta plane. After I got off, I go over to this other airline where they're going to fly me across the island from San Juan to Mayagüez on the exact opposite end of the island. Puerto Rico is about 100 miles long. So I go out onto the runway, and here is the smallest airplane I've ever seen in my life. There's no way it could hold more than 8 people. All right. Everybody gets a window seat. It looked like a toy. So we get on this plane. I was sitting directly behind the pilot. I mean, I was practically in the cockpit. It was like, you know, you don't need a box cutter. I could just strangle this guy. You know, we're going down. So anyway, you know you're on a tiny plane when the pilot has to roll up the window before you take off. You know, he turns around and he's kind of like, okay, there's a life preserver. You know, screw it. I'm not going to crash. Yeah, we're cool. And so when you are sitting in a tiny, tiny, tiny little box and you're right there at the cockpit and the plane, I've flown goodness knows how many times. Never have I experienced, though, truly the miracle of flight like I did on this particular occasion. I just felt like I was in a chair. Flying through the air, basically, right? So we take off. Like the woman next to me was just terrified. She was scared to death. And I'm just like, what, you know, what can we do? If we die, we die. So we take off. Again, we look down. We see the, you know, the Emerald Island, the water crashing. And I just decide I'm going to kick back and I'm going to relax. And I stick my little earbuds in my ear and I turn on my iPod and I close my eyes and I swear to God, this is what comes on. I'm not making this up, folks.
Look at what's happened to me. I can't believe it myself. Suddenly I'm up on top of the world. It should have been somebody else.
And I'm like, yeah! This is like the cheesiest, most beautiful moment ever as I'm flying across the island of Puerto Rico. I'm like the greatest American hero going off on this mission. And then when this song ended, then it was like House of Pain. And then it was something by Eric Satie, the French composer who lived in the 1800s. So, now, let me tell you something, though, that was really cool about this. As we're flying over the island of Puerto Rico, because we're in this tiny little Cessna, we're flying just hundreds of feet over the surface. You can look down and see people, right? And we, as it turns out, on one of our routes, flew absolutely just directly over top of the Arecibo satellite dish. Now, you know, the Arecibo dish is the largest radio telescope dish in the world. You may remember it from movies like Contact or one of the James Bond films. It's a huge, big dish that just, you know, depressed down into the jungle-like setting of Puerto Rico. And it was extremely cool to just fly over and just get a bird's eye view. Couldn't have had a better view of the Arecibo station. That was neat. So anyway, we land there, and we land in Mayagüez. I get my rental car. My GPS wouldn't work, so I was instantly lost. All the signs are in Spanish. Now I'm pretty good at speaking Spanish, though. Maybe I'll speak some for you a little bit later. And then I met up with the guy. We're going to take a break. When we come back, let me tell you what else I got into on my adventure. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange. On my stereo as I was tearing down the highway in my convertible, the warm, strong breeze blowing through my hair, stopping at the occasional bar. Yo quiero una medalla y un shot de Don Q rum, por favor, señora. Yes.
You want a shot of rum, please?
With a medalla cerveza. Or maybe Tienes Poyola Barria? Si?
Si.
No entiendo, no entiendo. No. See, that's what I would sound like if I was a Spanish announcer. Tienes Poyola Poyola Barria. Blasting down the road. This type of music is called reggaeton. And it's very, very popular in Puerto Rico. Just fast-paced, bumping, pumping. We're going to play a little bit of that, you know, throughout the show. Give you a sense of what it was like. You look really cool in your convertible when you're blasting this. And it's all sunny and there's waves crashing around you and the sun's blinding. You feel like $1 million. And that's how I roll, right? That's how I roll down in Puerto Rico. And you know what's funny? There are a lot of people riding horses all over the place. Some of the horses are going nuts. And at one point, I went to a beach called Boquerón. It was the beach at Boquerón. And I was driving up the driveway, up the road, coming out of the beach. And I look up, and in the middle of the road is a herd of cows. Just completely unattended. Some of them extremely large bulls. And they're just charging at me. So I stop the car, and I'm sitting there. And then all the cows come up, and they stop, and they're looking at me, and I'm looking at them. And I'm like, hey, cows, move! And they don't do anything. They just look at me. So then I start laying on the horn. Finally, a couple of the cows kind of amble out of the way and let me through. Where do they come from? There are a lot of animals just running around that part of the island, the western part of Puerto Rico. In fact, I'll tell you something else. After staying for a few nights with Michael, I got a hotel room. And beautiful place called Bahia del Sol, best view of the Boca Raton area. So I went up and checked into my room. I came walking back down the stairs, and there was a large window in the hallway, and I heard something big sort of fluttering. And I thought, wow, there must be a gigantic bug over here. And I go walking over, and I realized it was a hummingbird trapped inside this building, and it was just banging itself on the window trying to get out. I don't know, you know, how this happened. So it crossed my mind, I wonder if I could catch this hummingbird and help it out. And I was like, yeah, right. Like, maybe I can. So I took a moment, and I cupped my hands around this hummingbird. And I slid my hands down, and I got it. I got it in my hands. And I walked this hummingbird down three flights of steps and took it outside. And I cracked my fingers just enough for its little head to pop up. Very dark green, shiny head. And then I opened my hands, and it flew off back into nature. I released it back into the wild. What do you think about that, Forrest?
Did a tear roll down my cheek?
See, I'm the ultimate man. I saved a hummingbird, right, Shelley?
Yes.
Ladies all love me now.
They all love you now.
And so I thought that was a good omen for some reason. But you find all kinds of strange animals. As a matter of fact, in the hotel, there were a couple of little dogs. I don't know what they were. They were puppies. And they were real springy, and they would always play with each other and fight, and I called them El Chupacabras. It turns out that the dude who owned the hotel, he could barely speak English, but he communicated to me that somebody threw him in the garbage. And he took them out of the garbage when they were just tiny. Somebody threw those little puppies in the garbage.
How can you do that?
Well, it doesn't even make sense, does it? You know, why would you throw little puppies, little living puppies in the trash? And so we played with the puppies, and then he broke out one of the biggest bottles of liquor I've ever seen, called Petoro from 1897, and we proceeded to drink it.
The hotel owner?
Yeah.
You speak in the international language, right?
That's how we communicated.
El Drinkle?
If people want to communicate, they will find a way. But, you know, there are also big lizards in Puerto Rico. And, some of the, they're iguanas, you know. And some of them can be, I don't know, a couple feet long. But let me tell you guys something. I did a lot of interesting things, and I don't know how much I'll get around to, but one of the coolest things that I got to do on this trip was visit a place called Gilligan's Island. Now, from the town of Cabo Rojo, you head southeast until you get to a town called Guanica.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly where that's at.
Yeah. And then you pay a ferry, and they take you across the ocean. And you should see some of my pictures and video footage of this. The water is so clear. It's so warm and crystal clear and with that beautiful blue sheen that it doesn't look real. You can take all the pictures you want. You can, you know, you can't capture it. You finally get to this island, and there's nothing on the island. There are no facilities. They leave you there for hours, and then they'll come and pick you up and take you back. Now, the island was beautiful. The water was great. Just being there would have been a 4-star experience, but it actually, something happened that made it a 5-star experience. You see, a couple things about this island. For one thing, I brought my mask and snorkel, and there is a very strong current that flows around this island. Now, Forrest, you and I have snorkeled together many times.
We have.
We know what, usually you go out, you snorkel, you swim around. You go out into the water outside this island, all you have to do is lay down and do the dead man's float. And this current is so strong, it just rockets you all around this island, you feel like Superman. You're just flying over fish and seashells and, I mean, just one type of crazy thing of beauty after another. You're not even swimming. You're not moving. You're just floating. And this thing is, you're rocketing around the island.
Does the car go around the island?
Around the island, yeah. So it's like an amusement park ride that you're on, a natural amusement park ride. Now, that alone, again, that would be 4 out of 4 stars. I'm very, very particular, though. Here's what pushed it to 5 out of 5 stars. As if that weren't enough, the channels of water that flow through this island have these big, huge mangrove trees on the banks, and there are these big, twisty, knobby roots that go down into the water. If you swim over to the embankment, the current is so strong, you can't swim against it. If you do, you're like in an endless pool. You're just swimming and you're not going anywhere. But if you grab those roots under the water and you start pulling your way back, the roots under the water form this amazing tunnel of ecosystems down there. So you're kind of like exploring all these roots, and there are all these bizarre fish and other aquatic creatures of multicolor, and you don't even know what you're looking at. But I mean, it was like me and 4 other people on the whole island. So basically, I'm by myself here. There's not another soul around me, and I'm just down here just pulling my way through all these tunnels under the water, through these roots and stuff. It looked like something out of a movie. It didn't look real. It was one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my entire life. And that's when I was like, okay, boom, 5 out of 5 stars. It doesn't get any better than this. This island called Gilligan's Island, it was the shizzle. And you know how much it costs to go there?
How much?
$7.
Is that all?
Seven American dollars. Because, I mean, once you get there, you pay $7 for the ferry and to bring you there and back. And you can bring your own food, or they will deliver lunch to you there if you want. It's the deal of the century. I couldn't believe how cool this place was. So, while I was there, I got to meet all kinds of interesting people and see some fascinating stuff. We're going to take another break. When we come back, I want to tell you a few last things here this hour before we bring Michael Rivera in next hour. He's the guy who sold his soul to the devil, who has been hearing this voice that's been tormenting him. And, you know, we are not only next hour going to have him on the show. I also have some actual audio clips that we're going to play for you as well. So, you know, what can I tell you, folks? This is a good one. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange.
Same as my daddy and his daddy before. You hardly ever saw granddaddy down here. He only come a town about twice a year.
Estás desconectado del mundo. Te sientes en otra frecuencia. Los líderes.
Me seduces cuando bailas así. Tocar tu cuerpo para mí no es fácil. Me gusta cuando te pones difícil. Y me dice que va, cógelo easy.
Thank you.
Puerto Rico speak English, but on the West Coast, a lot more people only speak Spanish. And you actually start learning Spanish quickly. Or nowadays, you can get your cell phone, and there's a little translator on there. And I used to use the translator, and I'd kind of mess with people with it a little bit. Like, I would go to the guy at the front desk at the motel, and I'd type some stuff in, and it would be like, "Can you tell me how to get to the Pica Pica restaurant off of Highway Route 2? And will you cuddle with me tonight, please?" And I'm like, "Oh, what the hell's gotten into this thing? It's got a mind of its own." And, you know, when... when you are at a place like that, it's great to actually have the experience, though. To live with a resident, like I stayed for a few days with Michael Rivera. I went to a theatrical performance with him. I also went to his church, to a church service. And, you know, at the theatrical performance, they're forming like a drama club there in his town. So we go into this theater, big, huge theater, and this is just one of the funny little things about the Spanish language. At one point, we're sitting there in the theater, and Michael, who speaks English very well, as you'll hear soon, he leans over to me and he says, "You know, in 1975, I saw Jaws here."
Jaws.
And then... We went to his church. Talk about pageantry. You know, for one thing, he said that he'd never seen a gringo in his church before. There's like 700 members of this church. Not all 700 were there this night. But I, for all I know, you know, I made a little bit of history being a gringo. Now, granted, I didn't understand what was being said half the time. But, I mean, you had a stage there that looked like it was a huge, you know, musical performance where they had blue and purple and pink lights everywhere, and then they had a whole band over here, and they had a whole chorus over there, and they had guys with big, huge, ram horns blowing on them, trumpeting, and all they were missing was a laser light show, man. Once this thing started up, they had like their own color guard. All these people came out wearing uniforms with flags, and they're twirling the flags around and dancing. And I mean, just tearing it up, man. I've never seen a production like this in a church in my life. And I've gone to a lot of different denominations of churches and just kind of checked out what was going on. Never seen a show like this. This was just crazy. They had video projectors that were, you know, with all the words to the songs against waterfalls and sunsets and things. And so Michael said he thought maybe the service would last about, you know, 2 hours. This thing lasted over 4 hours. 4 hours these people got together and just, you know, tore it up, man, you know, put on a hell of a show. Even if you don't speak English, you know, you're just sitting back just watching this amazing pageantry all around you. And also, now, you see, this church that Michael goes to, it's a non-denominational church. So he went from being possessed by the devil to being born-again Christian, and now he's in a non-denominational church. And yet, he really felt strongly that we should go talk to a priest in the town who is well known. And this priest, he thought it would be good to talk to this Catholic priest because the Catholics, he says, have more experience in dealing with possession type stuff. So we go to the, he got an appointment. We went to the church to meet with the priest. You know what the priest's name is?
What?
His name is Father Angel. Okay? So we go into a lobby and we sit down, you know, like we're at a doctor's appointment. And we're waiting to go into Dr. Angel. Dr. Angel. Father Angel's off. So the door opens. There's Father Angel, you know, real nice fella. He invites us. He doesn't speak any English. We sat down in his office. All over the walls, he had pictures of various types of Catholics, bishops, and priests, and monks, and I don't know, you know. And we had a conversation, and I thought, this is it's interesting. That here I am in Puerto Rico, in a little office, talking about possession by the devil with Father Angel here, who doesn't speak English. And I'm seeing all these cinematic overtones. Like, I really feel like I could be in some kind of movie right now. You get the picture? It's wild. Well, folks, we're going to take a break. When we come back, guess what? We're going to have Michael Rivera here. And I'm going to tell you some things about him that blew my mind. And he's going to tell you himself about what he went through, why he sold his soul to the devil, and what's been happening to him since then. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.